with this. Okay.
All right, we're going to go to page 23 in our notes of our syllabus. And I broke this down into several different lessons the way it's laid out. It says the spirit and the blood. Now, we've already dealt with, you know, the fact of the blood and the spirit working together. And let me change eyes again. I've got a full bifocal over here, and I've got to get an eye exam. I know my eyes have changed. I only can see better without with these all the time. It looks a little blurry going out. But anyway, let's look at John chapter, 1 John, excuse me. Well, you can turn there. Some of the verses are down here. I was going to turn there. So we'll be elaborating on some of them as we get down a little bit further on the page. We're going to be talking more in reference to the Spirit and the blood. And some of our texts will be from 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. And with this, we'll just do a breakdown of some things. And as you go through this lesson, you'll see that we've done some outline. Also, you'll see there'll be a place for you to fill in the answers. Now, as you get on into some of this syllabus, you're going to see we're going to have less of that at times, or things that I will give you. But anyway, these are things that I think that are vital for testing and things. All right. Again, lesson objective for this lesson, the spirit and the blood, understanding the benefits that are accomplished by the blood. And we've already, I think, discussed some of those. This is accomplished when we understand that the blood has vital power. Excuse me just a second. That is automatic and without ceasing. Now, I want you to remember that. It's vital power. It's automatic and without ceasing. Again, we're getting an understanding about the Spirit and the blood. Number three, the Holy Spirit and the blood are so. Now, we've been saying they're inseparable. But listen to what we've got pinned here. Are so inseparably bound together. This gives us the opportunity to rely on Christ because the blood has power that doesn't discontinue or ever become ineffective for us because of the power of the Spirit. The Spirit and the blood are the united witnesses that are the foundation of our faith. Now, I want to say something here. We've been talking about how the blood and the Spirit cannot be separated. I believe there's a greater emphasis that is being stated here, how that they're so inseparably bound together. Now, I want to give an illustration. I just went over here and I plugged my telephone up. It had power. I do not want it to run down before we get through with this class. If I go over there and I unplug that telephone, no matter what the status of my battery is, has that ceased the current to that outlet?
To the outlet?
Yes.
No.
No. No. That's what I want you to understand. It's all in our aspect, a work of faith. A work of faith. It may look like the Spirit and the blood's doing nothing. All we see is a cover, and we don't see no benefits, but it's current. That's why they call it current. You feel it and you know it. Okay, and right now I'm getting benefit of it with my phone. Okay, so with that thought, you're going to understand why I use that as we go, because sometimes in our mindset, as humans, we don't think about the Spirit. We don't think about the blood. That doesn't mean we're not a believer. Let me use an example. When you go to sleep, you may go to sleep praying. You may go to sleep speaking in tongues. You may go to sleep just worshiping or whatever. That does not stop the fact that you're in the presence of God, or if you went just to bed and hit the pillow and you went to sleep. It doesn't change the fact of who you are or the presence of God. The only thing is where we are at in it. Okay, it doesn't change the fact that the presence of God is still the presence of God. No more than that current. Okay, number four, the Spirit and the blood are united witnesses that are the foundation of our faith. So I think that's important. Everything is obtained by faith, especially that we can't have anything to do with in producing it. And that's even with our new birth. Faith in Jesus, and this is where we're going to elaborate on some of the verses. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5 says, Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth it, that Jesus is the Son of God? So there's some things being established here, how that we are to be born of God. It makes us an overcomer, and it's according to our faith. And then verse number 5 tells us that who is he that overcometh the world? It tells us because, and it's not just because, well, I believe there's a God in heaven, but we know that he is the Son of God. And when we say that we know that he's the Son of God, we have a relationship. You know, I don't know what my brother's doing right now. I have a kind of an idea. He's in Texas. But I know my brother well enough that I know my brother. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an illustration that just popped in my mind. We ought to be so conscious of the voice of God. And I may have told this to some, Tina may have heard this before. We ought to be so conscious as a child of God of the voice of God, we know the enemy's voice. Mm-hmm. Think about that. I've been out of high school. I would have graduated, I think, I know it was 1976, so you do the math, 46, 47 years. It was around the 4th or the 6th of June. I have to go back and look at my diploma. Anyway, this was probably within the last 10 years, so I've been out of school maybe almost 30 years, 32 years. And I was in a convenience store one day, and I never had a lot to do with this young man, but we were friends in passing. But, you know, I didn't go to lunch with him, and we weren't in classes together. We just knew each other. And anyway, after, I'm going to say 32 years ago, at that time, maybe 35 at the most, I was in a store, and there was a line, probably from where I'm at, almost to that wall of people in front of me, and there was somebody behind me. Well, I didn't turn to see. And about the time that, and you'd go either way, left or right, in this store to go out, they had two door entrances. And about the time I turned and I made my purchase, who was behind me stepped up. Well, apparently he didn't recognize me after all that time. And soon as I heard his voice, I turned and I thought, he looks familiar. And I said, excuse me. I said, are you Brent? He turned around and looked at me like, huh?
Who are you?
I said, did you go to Parkland High School? Did you graduate in 1976? He said, yes. I said, I'm Harry. He's, oh, yeah. I said, I didn't even know who you was standing. I didn't even look. I said, I heard your voice after that long. Think about that.
And that's great.
I recognized his voice.
Yes.
And I wasn't in his presence all the time. I said that to say this. It's one thing to have a knowledge. It's another to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know. I know what my brother likes to eat. I know what he shouldn't eat. He's got some health issues. Oh, bless his heart. But he's a good boy. He's a good boy. All right. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth? I mean, that is an act of faith that we're relying on everything that the Son of God is. In these passages, we find revealed to us a new birth is necessary. Our faith in Jesus brings about a new birth and a champion lifestyle. Did you hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just kin to Jesus. Well, he saved me one day. No, it said a champion lifestyle.
Right.
We need to get up every day and realize we're champions.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't care how much the devil. See, that's the thing that gets me. We talk about, listen, I know there's times we have to share things with people, or have to ask somebody to pray for us or whatever. But the thing about it is, let's get up and say, wait a minute, devil, you may be pounded, but I'm going to pound back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pound back. God said, his word said.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want to hear that.
That's right.
We're champions.
Mm-hmm.
We're more than overcomers.
Mm-hmm.
Our new birth and overcoming lifestyle is by faith in the trust that Jesus is the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, well, that just sums it up. He's the giver of life. He's the creator of all things. Everything resolves and revolves and evolves and however more evolves and ovs and whatever we want to put in the equation. All right. Testimony rests upon the following witnesses. Now, we've talked about how the blood and the spirit are inseparable. In verses 1 John chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Verse number 6 says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, I don't know, this may be good. This may be good with something we were talking about this morning, sister. Jesus had to come in the flesh, and a sign of that would have been that his mother's water would have had broke. It's a natural. But yet, we know that Jesus didn't need to be born again. But what happened to him? He was baptized that actually coordinated him stepping into ministry. What happened there at that river? He was endued because his flesh was flesh. He was still the Son of God. And he was endued with the power of God, and God opened heaven. The dove descended, which represents the Spirit of God. He was standing there in the waters that made a statement about redemption.
And I think of when they thrust the spear into his side and the blood and the water came out together.
Yeah. Without water, we'll die. Without blood, we'll die. We bleed out. We bleed to death. But still, the Spirit is affected there.
Mm-hmm. But if you stab me, blood would come out. Water wouldn't come out.
Do what now?
If you stab me, blood would come out. You wouldn't see the water come out.
No, not
Jesus,
necessarily.
Jesus, the blood. And
Yeah.
Does it with people? I mean, regular people?
I think it would depend. That's a good question.
I didn't think that was a natural thing.
Well, the components of blood, there's so many different components in the blood.
Yeah, but this was, one was water, one was blood.
Yeah. Well, there's another significance to think about here. When he was pierced, we don't know how far it was from a lung. And definitely fluid was building up in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus actually smothered to death.
Yes.
Partly that's what crucifixion is. There's a lot of things there that's good. That's a good point. That's a good point. Not by water only, but by water and blood. Mm-hmm. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Jesus' ministry, and see, I like it when y'all bring up things like this. Mm-hmm. It tells me that your mind's thinking, and you may not have the answer, but see, that's the thing. Continue to study. Did I say earlier today, you know, we just had a graduation here, and you know, I graduated again, but anyway, I feel more responsible now what I don't know that I'll know.
I know.
And I'll tell you the statement that I've made, people, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys this. As you continue to progress in your education, Paul never exhorted us to go get a degree. He exhorted us. Did I say this earlier? Okay, well, I'll
but that's good. It's worth saying.
Yeah. He told us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay.
I can answer your question about that. I know a lady that was sick, and she was so full of fluid that when she got punctured, water came out.
Oh, really?
And I've actually heard of people, water coming out of their legs.
Yeah, when they're so swollen like that.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know why everything that was... Because Jesus had to have took on every affliction.
Oh, yeah.
Every affliction. And in this study... Well,
I had never heard anybody answer that to my satisfaction.
Yeah. That might be a good doctor question.
Yeah.
And most of the people that does that are diabetic.
Probably so.
I don't think he was a diabetic.
But I could see it being a diabetic.
Yeah.
I could.
Well, what's interesting about that... From my own experience, my husband dealt with edema for a while.
Okay.
And he has a circulatory, which is blood issue, and it causes weeping of his legs.
Okay.
So water and blood does go together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when Jesus anguishly prayed, sweat or blood was blood.
Mm-hmm. And we think of sweat more of a watery component. Okay. Good discussion. Okay. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Jesus' ministry is testified, and we briefly mentioned that. I won't go to all these scriptures, but please read them in your own study. Matthew and Mark, Luke and John. These are reference to his ministry. Some of this has to deal with his baptism. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Water testifies of his baptism. Also, I've got a note, side point, consider his birth and the fleshly. Then also, blood testifies of crucifixion, his death. And we do know that the scripture says blood and water came forth.
Well, it also speaks of his humanity.
Yes. Yes, it does. Yeah, and yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah, and that would be part of his birth too. But yeah, his humanity. Dr. Charles Ryrie, that I've mentioned before, this is what he says: the water refers to the inauguration of Christ's earthly ministry at his baptism by John the Baptist. The blood refers to the close of his earthly life at his crucifixion. Jesus proved himself to be the chief Messiah at his baptism, and by pouring out his soul to death. Now, that's an explanation that Dr. Charles Ryrie gives. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be argumentative of it. I can see his point. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. The Spirit was acknowledged at both of these occasions. The Spirit is truth. So we understand. The Spirit of God was involved in his crucifixion. The Spirit came and took the blood and applied it to the mercy seat. At his baptism, heaven opened, the dove descended. God said, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." We have a witness of the Trinity there. We have a witness. All right. Again, we see the inseparability of the blood and the Spirit, or the Spirit is truth. And then again, we see the inseparability of the blood and the Spirit. In verse number 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And so you can fill in what we've just said about verse number 7. There's three heavenly witnesses. There's the Father, there's the Word, and if you want scripture for those two, the Word, John 1, verses 1 through 3. And, of course, verse 14 of the first chapter. And then, of course, the Holy Ghost is the third heavenly witness. Then in 1 John 5 and 8, we find it says, "There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one." Three earthly witnesses. So we've got the three heavenly witnesses, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. And we won't argue about the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. If it says Holy Ghost, it's Holy Ghost. If it's Holy Spirit, this is, you know. All right, then the three earthly witnesses are Spirit, which is breath, that is exhaled to give life. And then, of course, water and blood. And we can't live without any of those three. Mm-hmm. On page 10 of the textbook, we are given concepts of the following three earthly witnesses. Now, I'm not going to turn to page 10, but when you're reading your book, and it may be page 9, it could be page 11 if there's an offset. So please bear with me. I got these second books after I had put this together, and sometime I may have to go and make some adjustment with these, but I don't know it's within that proximity of a page. Okay, we have the three earthly witnesses, which is water. This refers to the outward and human act commanded by God to be observed, by those who are turning from their sins, presented themselves to him in baptism. So some see it, the water being an outward, a human act. And then the blood, in this we see that God has done what God has done to bring about a real and living cleansing. And then Spirit, it is by the Spirit that the witness of both the others are confirmed.
And what would the answer number 6?
Number which one? C? Uh-huh. Spirit.
Okay, thanks.
Spirit. And I think when you read the book, it will help you a little bit with some of this. A little bit too. Examine John 3:5. Born of the water and Spirit. Here are two of our components that bear witness of each other. Jesus is conversing with Nicodemus about the new birth. Various points of argument are given. And if I'm not mistaken, these are the five that Dr. Ryrie gives. His first view is it refers to baptism as a requirement for salvation. However, this would contradict other New Testament scriptures such as Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Now, this is something for you to chew on and think about. Various points of argument. I lean to agree with him on that because it's by faith and faith alone.
Now, these we get from the book.
I don't know if these five are in the book or not. I'm not sure because I think I took this from Charles Ryrie's study Bible, this part, and I didn't acknowledge that. I believe. So you may want to write these down.
Okay.
These five points, because I think they came out of Charles Ryrie's study Bible. I need to give one again?
What was one?
It refers to baptism, and we're talking about water baptism. It refers to baptism as a requirement for salvation.
Oh, well, that answers the question.
Well, it gives you something to chew on. However, this is what he says. However, this would contradict many other New Testament scriptures, such as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, where it talks about that salvation is a gift of God mm-hmm. and not of works. Mm-hmm. All right, do I need to repeat that again? All right, I'll move to 2 then. It stands for the act of repentance, which John the Baptist's baptism signified. If you remember, John always told them they needed to repent. And there is reference that it was a baptism of repentance, but they were repenting.
Okay, which John the Baptist, what?
Okay, it stands for the act of repentance, which John the Baptist's baptism signified.
Signified.
Do I need to repeat that again? See, when you go to studying, you need to see some of the different views. You see, need to see some of the things, but then go and look and see what the scripture actually says or how, if any of these blend. It refers to the natural birth. Thus, it means except a man be born of the first time by water and the second time by the Spirit. Because if you remember the conversation that's going on in John 3, he comes and asks the question, how can a man when he's old be born?
You know,
so those are things to rationalize.
You know what blows me away with this?
I didn't know. I forgot about this when we were
talking. Last night, I had no clue what we were on today.
Okay.
And I was laying in bed just thinking about, you know, Sunday school I used to teach and the song going through my head.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to me, what are your feelings about that? Because I was singing a song on baptism, the water and the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It is all hooked up to today. This Sunday chills up my heart.
And I didn't think about when you brought that up this morning.
That's what the whole lesson's been on.
And so, okay, number three. Mm-hmm. Did we get number three?
I did.
Okay, it refers to natural birth. Thus it means, except a man be born the first time by water and the second time by the Spirit. Well, see, water is represented, or Holy Spirit is represented by water. The first birth can be represented because of the fact of what takes place.
Answer right there.
Number four, if we're ready. This one's short. Number four is, it means the word of God as in John 15:3. And I can't remember what John 15:3 says off the top of my head. All the books. I know a little bit about John. I used to be able to tell you something from each chapter, but I don't know if I could today.
That's John what, 16?
John 15 and 3.
15.
I'm going to read it because I didn't write that in. John 15, 3 says, number 3 of 15 of John. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And so some take that the word itself or water is a symbol of being the word of God. Because there is a passage of scripture that Paul mentions, and I can't remember where it's at. It's in one of his epistles where it says, by the washing of the water of the word. By the washing of the water of the word. So we can see these concepts. All right, number 5, we ready for 5? It is a synonym for the Holy Spirit. So it's saying that the water could be a synonym for the Holy Spirit. And may be translated. This is what Dr. Charles Ryrie says. It may be translated by water, even the Spirit. If nothing else, I hope this makes you go steady.
You said by water even?
By water even the Spirit. So he's saying, and may be translated by water even the Spirit. So he's giving an indication that the fact of the synonym, water could be meaning Spirit. There's one thing for sure, there is a redemptive work. There is a new birth. And, you know, it's got to be by faith. It's got to be by the fact of what vicarious, the suffering death that Christ did. If these other elements of water baptism and those kind of things give us credence in our acknowledgement of it, okay. I can just tell you, I really believe the scriptures would teach us that it's by faith, it's a new birth, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Water baptism is a symbolic of what we've done.
Yes, yes.
And we brought this up this morning. What about the thief? He was never baptized. What if we put so much significance on? And see, that's what I don't understand. A believer ought to want to follow the Lord in water baptism. But okay, I don't think I finished this thought this morning. If we are going to take the term that a person has to be water baptized, the church fails. The church fails if we don't baptize them immediately. Because what if they get saved at this altar and drive out of this parking lot, God forbid, get hit by a car?
Yeah.
So we're building something in the work of God and his redemption work that I think we have to be very careful about, that we're going to get into some false teaching. We're going to get into some false teaching. So I believe that Dr. Ryrie gives some good points here. It has to go back either to the first birth and the second birth. And I'll tell you why I honestly agree with him on that. It's because when Jesus says, except a man be born again, he immediately, and he, this was not an uneducated man. He says, how can I, my age, can I enter my mother's womb again? Mm-hmm. He was looking in the natural. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus is talking here. I really have a tendency to believe that it's making the reference of the word being as water and the fact that water symbolizing his baptism, him going into his earthly ministry, and reference to even the natural birth and the spiritual birth. And then he goes on and he talks about how that where the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Any of y'all ever seen the wind blow?
You hear it.
You hear it, feel it. You don't see it.
You see
the effects.
You see its effects.
Right. Okay? All right. So I think in some ways that's what it is with the water. It's the symbolicness or the symbolism. But if you want to study some more on that, I think it would be good. If anything else, I hope it's intrigued your mind to want to study.
And I believe we read back here that this is how the Spirit birthed Jesus. Mm-hmm. He blew into the womb.
What happened when, and I'm going to get to you, and if I say what you were going to say, you can still repeat it. What moved on the waters in creation? What moved on the water?
The wind.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And life itself has to be that of God. Mm-hmm. We have no life without the Spirit. All right, honey.
Yeah, wasn't there Philip that was gave the words to the Ethiopian man? Did he baptize him?
He did. But he asked, he says, well, there's water. What would stop me? What would stop me? People were so serious about making that commitment. And see, we're in a society today. I want you to think about where we're at today. In America, or the Western culture, we should understand what baptism is, following the Lord, representing his death, burial, and resurrection. But if we were in an Islamic nation, to go out and be willing to be baptized in a public setting, you may have just, and probably have just sealed your death sentence.
Yes,
you might get baptized, but you might not make it out of the water. Mm-hmm. Or they may drag you out of the water, and the next thing you know, you got a homebound journey. Mm-hmm. Your head's just got cut off.
Sure will.
So that's even the power of the dynamics of the witness of it. Mm-hmm. The witness of it. Okay, I hope we haven't created alligators in the pond. I hope we've we've made you want to fish more. Okay, all right. Did you get what you was going to say, Al?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. A key truth. Yes.
I was just going to say, when a person comes to salvation, it is by the Spirit, which could be water, and by the blood of Jesus, washing. So, yeah. You know, the Holy Spirit woos people. So, you know, it's not just water baptism. We're baptized in the Spirit as well. So,
you know, I just had a thought.
That's being born again without necessarily being put in the water.
Some preachers are teaching you don't even have to be baptized.
I don't think that's wise. I don't think that's wise because we need to follow the commandment of our Lord, but to make it an essential, I think we've got to be careful because then we can lean over into things that I think it's going to take us. Unscripturally, but I just thought of something. There's nowhere in the scriptures in Genesis that it talks about how that, it does say the Spirit moved upon the waters. But we talked about this today. This thought crossed my mind. He took Adam and he formed him from the dust.
Mm-hmm.
We can see the symbolicness or the representation of a potter in some aspect. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when in that creative moment that blood started flowing in his, or blood was in his veins.
Mm-hmm.
But until he breathed into his nostrils,
mm-hmm.
he did not become a living soul.
Yes.
But even in that process, because God took his hands, touched Adam, how do we know? And I think so. Water wasn't a process of it, because what do you do with clay? You have to wet it to mold it.
Jesus had to spit in that mud to make that man's eye.
See?
Woo!
Amen. It's God's work. It's God's work. No matter. You know, Jesus didn't heal everybody the same way. You know the one that I think is exciting? You know, I'm off the topic. Oh, Lord Jesus. I love the story. Well, it's not a story. It's an event. I love when the four friends bring Jesus. Their faith. I love that. Amen. And Jesus, he healed the man, and also he dealt with his spiritual needs right there. All right, let's see if we can find a place to close, because it's almost 3 o'clock, and I'm going to try to get you all out of here a few minutes early. All right, a key truth, number 4, on page 26. One truth is clear. So we've discussed, we ain't fought, we ain't debated, we've had a good conversation. Okay, but a key truth is One truth is clear. The new birth is from God through the Spirit, and the blood and the Spirit are what?
Inseparable.
All right. They're inseparable. Okay. All right. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So we find, we're not going to get through with this, but we're going to be going over a little bit. What do y'all want to do? You want to stop here with the union of the Spirit?
Yeah.
Okay, we can. Mm-hmm. Or I can breeze through and I really won't give it justice, these next three pages. All right, let's close with that thought. The union of the Spirit and the blood and work of redemption. So maybe this will help us a little bit more as we continue to focus on this union. And I think here's another thing to think about. Let's go back to what we were discussing. We see so much through this where there's this unity of where the blood and the Spirit cannot be separated, mm-hmm. but it seems to bring in the picture every time we bring in the water. To me now, it sounds more of a natural realm. All right, anything else anybody want to mention today?
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you seen it in the Bible where you preach God, where you have to have a license? I'm just asking,
Good question. Let me go ahead and turn this off.